sometimes see some things that are crazy. One pastor said, well, we can't have patriotic service in our church. But let me tell you, you can love God and keep God first and still love your country. We're very blessed that we're citizens of the United States of America. And I'm not going to be ashamed for praising the Lord for this country that we live in. We're going to look at Psalms 33, verses 10 through 19. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who have chosen to be his own possession. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from his dwelling place. He forms the hearts of them all. He considers all their works. A king is not saved by a large army. A warrior will not be rescued by great strength. The horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. But look to the Lord, the Lord keeps his eyes on those who fear him, those who depend on his faithful life to rescue them from death and to keep them alive in famine. Father in heaven, we just thank you, God, for watching over us personally. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you lead our country, that we can better be free and lead others to know the freedom of Christ that is above all freedoms. Just help us to serve him in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Very good. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Gary, for patriotic music. Thank you, ladies, for that special. Been there, done that. One time I was in a revival meeting, and it was the song In Remembrance of Me. And about communion, you know, Jesus saying goodbye to the disciples and all. And I got through the first verse. Before it was over, I just went over, sat down, and cried. It was the slobber music, not the special music when I did it. But you did really well, and thanks for that inspiration. Couple things just to mention, kind of by way of keeping us together here. It is the 4th of July week. Privileged to have some opportunity to honor veterans and be involved. I'll just tell you that a funeral Tuesday for just a member of the community that didn't have a pastor, so I'd appreciate your prayers on that. On Wednesday, we're honoring a World War II veteran who's 97 years old, and I hope and pray the paper in Lawrence County up there will go up, but our VFW group is going to go over. We had the chance to go into his living room and did a little interview with him. We wanted his story. This veteran fought in the Battle of the Bulge years ago. So that was something to keep. And then on Thursday, Governor Parson is coming to the Mount Vernon Veteran Home and going to talk about, you know, it's political, but it's important. You know, the leaders send veterans into combat. And so he's going to come and talk about the improvements that they're trying to make there, and we've been invited to be a part of that. So it's kind of a busy week. And then, of course, there's nothing on the schedule for the week after. Did you know that in the week of Vacation Bible School, there's a miracle in time? Because the 3 hours in the morning feels like 30 hours, and it goes by like one. So we'll be in time warp zone, and I liked what Trevor said today. I don't know if you caught that. Our Lord is big enough to create people who create other things. And that you extend that just a little bit, and the living of our lives and the things that we do with our hands, our head, and our heart are an extension of what God has put in motion. So that's pretty exciting. I'm going to dwell on that a little bit. You may hear more about that. I do want to remind you that we continue to remember our church family. There are many who can join us on Facebook but would love to be present with us today. And, you know, I always say it's tough being a pastor because you can always see who's here, But it's hard to see who's not here. And there are reasons sometimes, be it health, be it emotional or family issues, whatever, but it does matter. And I just say to our larger church family, we want you here whenever you can be here. And we understand that life may take us different ways, but that said, you still belong, and it's the family coming together to worship. And our church is on any Sunday much larger than what we see here. So I'd like to just mention that as Susan and I have been traveling recently, I finally gave in and I got on a podcast service. It's no longer cool to listen to cassette tapes. Isn't that a downer? And I thought I had really come forward when I got rid of my old 8-track player, right? But now it's cool to put it on your phone. And the newer car in our life, we plug in the charger to the phone and it all plays through the radio. I mean, I was so excited when I was a kid when I learned in the old radio you could push that little button and the dial would just move over on its own. Do you remember that? Don't admit it. It makes you feel old. But reality check, now it's podcasts. So on our recent trip to Texas and as we're driving around these days, we are listening to a podcast called The History of the United States. And it's 28 hours of podcast. We're not done yet. We've been working at that, you know, to Texas and back. That was a good start. And then just little bits and pieces along the way. But it's been a good reminder of where America came from and how the Lord has used these things in our history that will ultimately bring us up to our own moment and see the value and the benefit of that. So it's very interesting to go back. We've gone through the Revolutionary War. We've gotten through Washington and the Continental Army and the British and the geopolitics that was a part of that. And we're now kind of priming up and setting up everything for the Civil War that's going to come. But I would just say to you that as you study the story of our nation and you contrast that with what God says in His Word, it leads you to some interesting things. So as I normally do, you get the benefit of the overflow of some of this dialogue that's going on in our hearts. And I put it out not to ask you to agree with everything I say, but to ask you to just hear it out. Listen to the whole thing. Don't just go up and turn the dial off. You might need to move the button over a little bit every now and then just to stay tuned in. But reality check, I'd like you to take that and take it home. And I thank you for the way you listen because I'm not here trying to entertain anybody. If I think of something funny, I try to say it because it livens it up a little bit. But I don't write jokes or cute stories, and I'm not out to manipulate you. I'm out to open up this book and say, there's what it says. Here's what we can say about that. And then beyond that, though, your homework every week is to take what we talk about here and process that and argue with it a little bit and get into the book yourself. It used to be that Sunday as a day of rest, it was basically a day of reflection. The old Puritans would listen to a two-hour sermon, let us all give thanks, and then go home and process it all the rest of that day and try to live it out in the week to follow. So, with that in mind, I want to go to that powerful phrase that Terry read for us from Psalm 33. We'll have the scripture up there, but it would be helpful if you have your copy of God's Word, and I really hope you do bring it when you can. We do this stuff on the screen, hopefully for guests who come our way who aren't prepared. But for those of us who are here pretty often, it's a good thing to have this nearby and where we refer to it. So I'm going to draw out of verse 12, happy or blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. And we're going to look at that, just that phrase, happy or blessed is the King James word, is the nation whose God is the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to break that down word by word. And then at the end, in that last point, we're going to go back and we're going to look at all of Psalm 33 and just give you some bullets for further study and further reflection, maybe this afternoon or at a time that works for you. So, point number one, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy. And I want to say to us, point number one, happiness, it's a byproduct, not the goal. Okay? If we went out and we stopped cars out by Casey's in the stoplight and we put a microphone in, what is your goal in life? Many people would say, I just want to be happy. But then you ask them the question, are you happy? Now think about this for a minute. We just talked about we're the land of the free. We have the opportunity to choose our own vocation, our own life partner, where we live, what our address and what our zip code is. We actually kind of get to choose how much money we're going to earn in America. And if you don't like where you are, you can change. But if you stop people on the road and you ask them, what do you want in life? I want to be happy. Are you happy? Most of them would say no. I find it very interesting that as I've worked on this through the week, I opened up the news app today, and I think there was a story referring somewhere else. Somebody did a survey, and they said, in the last 2 years, 45% of Americans have said they've never been really happy in the last 2 years. And that's another COVID kick, okay? But I look at that, and I go, why not? Do you think in 2 years' time you could seek after something that gave you the byproduct of happiness in your own heart and in your own life? And if you don't have it, whose fault is that? Now, I find it interesting that it's the very same words that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed is the person. Happy is the one blessed are the poor in spirit, it begins. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Happy are those who mourn. Another way to translate that is, to be congratulated is the person who's poor in spirit. Well, it isn't because being poor in spirit is such a great thing all by itself. It's because when you're poor in spirit, you realize that the kingdom of heaven is what matters most. So the happiness or the congratulations or the blessing that comes, it's the byproduct of seeking the kingdom of God. It's not that everything in your world just goes your way and you get to whistle like the Hollywood people going, you know, happy, happy, happy. Life is so good. You're blessed if you're poor in spirit. You're blessed if you're humble before God. You're blessed if you're mourning because you turn to God for comfort. You're blessed if you're a peacemaker. You'll inherit the earth. You don't go out and try to inherit the earth. You try to go out and make peace. And the byproduct of that is walking with the Lord in such a way that it brings fulfillment into your heart and fulfillment into your life. And what the psalmist is telling us here is that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It isn't that the nation might not have problems. It's that the nation is seeking after the kingdom of God, the lordship of God. They acknowledge God is overall. Ladies and gentlemen, we always pray for God's blessing, but it is the byproduct of seeking the God who blesses us. And I would suggest to you today that if you're not happy, you're very likely seeking something or someone that creates the byproduct of not happy. Do you remember the old Wizard of Id cartoons? Two clams, he always had clams, you know. And one clam says to the other, I'm not happy. Did you get that? I got to help you here. What's the phrase? I'm happy as a... And one clam says to the other, I'm not happy. See why I don't put jokes in here? That's kind of how they go sometimes. All right. But I find it very interesting. Does not our Declaration of Independence say that it is an inalienable right endowed by our Creator, it's self-evident, life, liberty, and what? No. Life, liberty, and happiness. No. Even Thomas Jefferson, 246 years ago, understood that you don't just go after happy, you go after the things that make for happy. Ladies and gentlemen, blessed is the nation, happy is the nation. It's the byproduct, not the goal. I like to bring up Dave Ramsey every now and then. He helped me a lot with money. He said, you know, if you want a life that has abundance and plenty in it, he had a statement that really helped me. It was very simple. He says, do rich people things, you get rich. Do poor people things, you stay poor. How do you get happy? You do the things that create the byproduct of happiness. How do you be miserable in life? You do the things that you think make you happy, but they have the byproduct of being miserable. And where is our nation today? Are we pursuing those things that make us happy as a byproduct? Or are we not, in fact, really usually choosing those things that cause grief and sorrow and pain and sadness? If you would watch the evening news one night and understand that every headline there is the byproduct of other people's choices, what were they choosing? Oh, what insight it would bring into our lives. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's the byproduct of seeking the Lord. Point number two, it's the individual and the nation. It says, blessed is the nation. Blessed are the people. And I want to say to you biblically that God cares about us as individually. We talk about Jesus going to the cross for you. He did, for me, for us, as individuals. And yet, the very first promise, where God talks to Abraham and says, go out and look at the stars, he says, I'm going to take you, the individual, and I'm going to make you a great nation. As numerous as the stars that you're looking at right now. It is the individual and the nation. I think what's hurting America in so many ways is that we've forgotten that we are interdependent upon one another. We have so focused on independence that we've forgotten about our interdependence. The motto of our day is, I want to run my own life. And Frank Sinatra reminded us, I'm going to do it my way. Anything you read about gay liberation this month, it's all about putting ourselves out there and letting the world see the true me, and I'm somehow more authentic, being unusual, than I am being the way I was made. I have my right to be me. You hear the kids say it. We don't hear it much in our generation, but if you walked over there and I said the phrase, you do you, all of them would say, and I'll do me. And then social media and everybody else says, you don't have the right to judge me for any of the choices that I ever choose to make. You have no right to judge me. Well, how do we live interdependently when we can't even comment on anyone else? When we've been called the age of outrage? And break that word down. Rage. I have the right to express my rage. Just read your Facebook feed. But biblically, God dealt with the individual in connection to the group. God used Moses as a leader, but he made a covenant and created a people, a nation called Israel. And through that nation and through all of the other kingdoms of the earth, he made things happen. You read the Apostle Paul at Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. Paul, in this sermon, he's talking to the political leaders of Greece. And he says, from one man, Adam, he, the Lord, has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries where they live. Really? Vladimir Putin doesn't do that? Paul is saying God does that. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era of nations. But the Bible says that God determines the beginning of those nations and the boundaries of those nations. And then he has said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You and I, individually, we need to get right with God. You must be born again. You must live a holy life. But note that there is a collective dimension to spiritual reality because God says he will judge the nations. We have a responsibility to the nations because out of every tribe, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every place on this planet, God is calling out a remnant and a people to be holy for himself. He will judge us, make no doubt, but he will judge the nations as well. Point number three, it's about God, not the government. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There are many forms of government in the Bible. Patriarchy in the book of Genesis, tribes, 12 tribes of Israel, nation states, covenants. Covenants based on the rule of law, covenants based on the power of the king. There are kingdoms with kings, there are dictators, there's tyrant leaders, there's Roman Caesars. It's all in our Bible. And so it is such an interesting question, who has the higher loyalty? Should we be loyal to America or should we be loyal to the Lord Jesus? And if it's not an either or, how do you do the both and? It gets challenging. We don't want the government to tell us to wear a mask. Yet we let the government tell us where to park our cars or not to park our cars. If I'm not in trouble already, I'm going to get in trouble right now. Jesus Christ was killed by the Roman government. And Peter said to him, we don't got to pay our taxes to them. They're not the ones in charge. And you know what Jesus said? I know that. But go ahead and pay the taxes because by being obedient right now, we obey God in a special way. Peter was very confused. And not only that, the way they got the money to pay the tax was go cast a line in the water, pull out a fish, and there was a coin in his mouth. That's a weird parking meter, if you ask me. I don't know. I got asked a question from the Missouri Baptist Convention about another church who, in the goodness of their heart, they want to erect 3 flagpoles out in front of their church. And as you know, the etiquette of the flag in America, it is on this side of the speaker for a reason, because America is in ascendance. And the Christian flag is over here because we are honoring the freedom we have in America to worship the way we do today. But this church wanted to put the Christian flag at the very top and make it subordinate to everything, make American flag subordinate to it. Isn't that a great thing to have a church fight about? And what I told him, I said, we do live in an era of nation states. And, you know, you really want to study this. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was brought before Pilate, the representative of Roman authority. And Pilate says to him, don't you know I have the power over life and death? And Jesus kind of goes, yeah, right. But Jesus willingly humbled himself under the authority. He was executed in the name of the Roman government to work a greater good for our eternal salvation. Did it mess with his position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Nope. Read the book of Revelation. But ladies and gentlemen, I think it was John MacArthur who said, God cares very little about what kind of government we are in because the gospel can be lived and shared in any of them. Now I looked at that and I said, wait. But then I thought about Corrie ten Boom. We were listening to Corrie ten Boom. And in the middle of Nazi-occupied Germany, she was living a Christian life that transformed a generation. That the persecuted church in China today doesn't come in and meet with air conditioning. They meet at O Dark 30 out in the cemetery because no one else will bother them there. And yet they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world as well. It doesn't matter if it's Cambodia, Russia, wherever. It isn't about the kind of government we, and this is the irony of it, for the last 246 years, we have a government that grants us religious freedom and exemption from taxation. And we do so little with it. Thomas Jefferson, who was no Christian like you and I, he was the model secularist. I quote him, he says, my God, how little do my countrymen know what a precious blessing they are in possession of and which no other people on earth enjoys. We have to agree with Thomas Jefferson on that. We take for granted the privilege that we have. And we think if the government ought to conform to our will, it isn't about the government, folks. It's about God. And we say it every Christmas when we quote Isaiah 9. And the government will be where? On his shoulders. Who is underneath every government in the world? Who is underneath bearing up, allowing and permitting whatever form of get along you all want to make? It is based on the righteousness and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior came and he is the one who will give righteous judgment and government. So, it's up to us to use it. I think we're especially blessed thanks to our founding fathers, and you'll hear me tout that quite a lot, but it's about the kingdom of God, not the government. Jesus was still sinless under Roman rule on this earth, and we all look forward to the day when he, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will rule it all. His argument with Pilate did not deter him from accomplishing his life mission. And if we can't do it with the privileges of freedom, be careful. God may just change it. Number four, it's the substance and not the shadow. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's not whose God is materialism. It's not whose God is moralism or virtue. It's not whose God is a fake God or an idol. The Bible says the Lord, he is God. There is a being, a person, who is in charge of it all. And he is the one that we worship. And so I want to back up and close by talking about all of Psalm 33. It says in verses 1 to 3, we're to rejoice in the Lord, and we are to praise him. And it talks about musical instruments. It talks about a new song. It talks about we are to praise him because he is the righteous one. We are to rejoice and praise the Lord. And then in verse 4, it says we're to do it because of his character. It says The word of the Lord is right. All his works are trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everyone's walking the streets of America about we want justice. We all want justice. But it isn't going to come from us. It comes out of the character of God. Verses 6 to 9, we're to rejoice in the Lord and we're to praise him because he is the creator. And if you read that, it says the heavens were made by the word of the Lord, all the stars by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea and piles them into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Ecologically minded people should not love the earth more than Christians. God made this place. God knows this place. God cares about this place. And if we love him, we should love and care about this place as well. What he's saying, though, is that we ought to stand in awe of him. He spoke and it came into being. He commanded, verse 9 says, and it came into existence. We call that ex nihilo creation. Out of nothing, God created. God spoke, said, let there be light. And there was light. I've told you this before, but it comes to mind. The Big Bang Theory. God said it, and bang, it happened. Okay? Verses 10 to 12, because of his counsel. Notice the phrasing here. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. Psalm 2. Hitler thought he was such a big dog and that he could shake his fist at heaven, and we didn't need God on this planet at all. And where is he today? The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart. And there's this other little phrase, see, and then it goes, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm getting myself confused here. We are to rejoice in the Lord and praise him because of his character. He is righteousness, justice, and love. Because he is the creator, he commanded it, and it now exists. Because of his counsel, his wisdom, his counsel, his word stands forever. He forms the plans of our hearts. We are to rejoice and praise him because he is in command and control of all the earth. And what Terry shared with us was that God is looking down over everybody and he sees what's going on. And we may think, oh no, there's no way out of this, but God has already formulated his plan and he will work his purpose until it's done. Don't think the chaos of America is indicative of the heart of God. He is in charge. He is in control. He is big enough to take the very worst thing that ever happened, which was the crucifixion of his own son, and turn it on its head in providence and make it the very greatest thing that happened, because now whosoever will may come. Don't let the chaos of our country confuse you or make you think that the Lord is not in command and control. And then the psalm ends, verse 20. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. And then here's the prayer, the closing amen, the benediction, the request. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. You know, after all of that, I mean, that's just around the universe in 22 verses. But you come home and you go, our hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So I ask you today, Is he the Lord of your life? We affirm that today, and we heed the words of Isaiah when he says, you know what? The prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on them and return to our God, for he will freely forgive. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, powerful words tucked away in a beautiful psalm that reminds us